Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet we'll offend. Deception within the church, man, who's letting them in? We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah,
and I ain't really trying to start beef, but some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
Yeah,
it catch it mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cross. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message. Forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Preston Dollar is a false teacher.
12-12.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a false teacher.
You should determine, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
12-12.
Robert Tilton is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
12-12.
Paul Crouch is a false teacher.
You should determine, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Brother Radio Reformer, and we are in studio today to talk about Metatron. And Metatron is becoming now quite popular. There's a debate going on currently in the church. There are different factions in the church, and they're fighting over Metatron and who's Metatron, and is Metatron Jesus? And so we're going to put our two cents in. It's always good to make a contribution to a ongoing conversation in the church. Now, I want to... Okay. Yeah, Shalom is right. Okay. As I was saying, I want to just put a word out there. There are people who stand on different sides of this issue, and I'm going to encourage them not to get stupid. I'm coming from a scriptural perspective. I'm not mentioning any names. All I have today is an audio by a wonderful, wonderful author by the name of Deanne Looper. And I have edited her audio, or rather, let me say that I will cut off the audio when she mentions name, because... For me today, this is not about names, but about truth. Is Jesus Metatron? Now, if you happen to be one of those who's for Jesus being Metatron, and you start calling me out, I'm going to have to take you, I'm going to have to give you a little trip to the woodshed and lay the wood heavy on you. So, I'm not mentioning names, but don't have me, don't force me to take you to the woods, because I will. I will, and I can do it with great ease. So, so I'm not for anybody other than for God. I'm for the truth. I'm here to defend Jesus Christ and his gospel. Now, if you want to get silly, we can get silly. But I'm going to do a couple of shows on this matter, on this subject, because we're just going to go slow. We're just going to be very logical, logical. One of the things that's missing in the church today is logic, analytical thinking, reasoning. And that's all we want to do. We just want to reason, look at the scriptures, and see if Jesus is Metatron. Now, I can tell you right off the bat, I can tell you from this moment, Jesus is not Metatron. Absolutely not. But let's make the argument that he's not. Let's make the argument that he's not. And if you do hold that Jesus is Metatron, you're a false teacher, plain and simple. You are a false teacher. That's what you are. Listen, a person who teaches that Jesus is Metatron doesn't have to fear me exposing them. Doesn't have to fear me exposing them. A person who teaches that Jesus is Metatron needs to fear that Jesus doesn't get a hold of their scrawny necks. That's what they need to fear, because you are teaching falsehoods about the Lord Jesus Christ. Having said that, in a series that I did some time ago, we talked about Metatron, and I had to talk about Metatron and another mythical being called Xenophon, because when you study different topics that come across the church, such as Jensen Franklin's teaching that Jezebel as a spirit had babies, I went to the Encyclopedia Judaica and some other Jewish writings. And we did a study on Metatron to show that in biblical anthropology, you cannot go from man to angel, because those who teach that Enoch is Metatron are actually saying that the man who walked with God in Genesis chapter 5, when God took him, he received an upgrade. He went from man to angel and became Metatron. And the same holds true for the prophet Elijah. When the prophet Elijah was raptured into heaven, when he and his chariot were taken up to glory, there are those in the Jewish community that teach that the prophet Elijah became Xandophon. So you have Metatron and Xandophon. You have Enoch and Elijah, who now receive an upgrade. They start out as humans, but then God makes them into high-ranking angels. Well, now there's a teaching out there, and it's new. It has just surfaced. That no, Metatron is not Enoch, but rather that Metatron is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that must be news to Jesus, because he himself never called himself Metatron. Okay. So I want to go to Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, and it says, this is Paul writing to young Titus. He says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, of the Jewish faction. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.' This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Do not give heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men who turn saints, who turn believers away from the truth." Well, this is why we're doing this series. Is Metatron Jesus Christ? And the question is, to Metatron or not to Metatron? That is the question. Okay, so now I want to play this audio. Here's this author. Like I said, this is an author. Her name is Deanne Looper. Deanne Looper. And she's talking. She wrote a book, a very interesting book. I have not purchased the book. I have not read the book. But based on this 15-minute audio clip, the book sounds fascinating. And I am going to get myself a copy. I will order myself a copy of this book. The book is called Kabbalah Secrets, Christians Need to Know, An In-Depth Study of the Kosher Pig and the Gods of Jewish Mysticism. Again, this is by author, researcher, Deanne Looper. Again, the title of the book is Kabbalah Secrets, Christians Need to Know, An In-Depth Study of the Kosher Pig and the Gods of Jewish Mysticism. So here she explains how some are teaching. She arrives at the conclusion, because she's got an audio clip of a man who is claiming that Jesus is Metatron. But she's going to explain, because she has researched the Kabbalah. Now, I haven't researched the Kabbalah. I can tell you, I have not researched the Kabbalah. I have not researched the Zohar. I own two copies, two huge sets of the Talmud. I own two different sets on the Talmud. I am not a Talmudic expert. This is just part of my library, and when I need to do some research, I'll pull out a volume and do some research. But I am not an expert. This woman is an expert. She's done extensive research, and that's why it's so good to listen to her. Now, having said that, you don't need to be an expert to debunk heresy. You know, some people say, well, he doesn't know the Hebrew, he doesn't know the Greek. You don't need to know Hebrew or Greek to debunk false teaching. Don't let anybody intimidate you. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. So let's listen to Deanne Looper. She's being interviewed. I'm going to get the name of the interviewer in a moment. And it's about a 12-minute audio. And she's going to tell us from the Kabbalah, from the Kabbalah point of view, who is Metatron. Okay? And this is part of her book. She cites all her sources. She quotes all the rabbis. And like I said, I have not read the book. I don't know who the woman is. But after listening to her, I can tell you, I can sit and listen to her for hours. I'm drawn to intelligent people. Intelligent people to me are a magnet. I like people who've done research. They're my kind of people. Okay, so here she is.
There are people out there in a growing number that.
Okay, this gentleman who is interviewing her, there's two guys interviewing her or talking back and forth. This guy speaking is called David Carrico. David Carrico. I don't know who he is. All right, here's the audio.
When they say Yeshua, and there are people out there in a growing number that when they say Yeshua, they mean Metatron. And just in words that we can just all come away from this show understanding, just share with our listeners who Metatron is and just exactly what Itzhak Shapira is saying about Jesus and Metatron.
Okay, Rabbi Shapira is the gentleman who claims that Jesus and Metatron are one and the same. But this woman, this expert, this person who's written this book that sounds extremely interesting, is going to break down who is Metatron based on the Kabbalah.
Okay, I became aware of Metatron. I refer to him as a fallen angel, if not Lucifer himself, just like you said. But I became aware of him in my previous research in the area of the New Age movement. But I was really shocked to see how much of a central figure he is in the Babylonian Talmud and in Kabbalah and in the Sephirot tree. Now, I go into this in my book. The Sephirot tree of Kabbalah is, they call it the tree of life. I would call it the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because salvation comes through knowledge and through different levels of ascension. And so there's gates. There's the first one at the bottom is the kingdom of God on earth. That's Malkut. And that's the only sphere on that tree that is in the physical realm. Right above that is what they would call the gate or Metatron's gate. And there are six sephira above our earth is what they say in the spirit world. And it's like it's a hexagon, but it's a six-sided cube, and they call it Metatron's cube. And this is where Metatron sits, and he's called the holder of the keys and the one who gives knowledge. And his cube is also called the Merkaba chariot. He's also referred to as the one who connects. He's the connector. So, like in Christianity, we would say Jesus is our mediator between man and God. In Kabbalah, Metatron is the connector between man and their God, who is Ensof. And if you want, I can just go quickly over this.
So basically, Kabbalah is Jewish Gnosticism. That's basically what it is. Kabbalah is Jewish Gnosticism, okay?
Christians today, when they hear, you know, when they think of the Jewish people, they think, oh, okay, so we all serve the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is why it was really important for me to write this book, because I wanted people to see that as we see this movement of so many Christians going into Zionism or going into Noahide laws, even departing from the faith, coming under the authority of rabbis, they are coming to a different God, because in Kabbalah, the God above the Sephirot tree is Ein Sof. And that means like the one without end, or the endless one, the boundless one. And I show in my book, and my book is really just like a compilation of rabbinic quotes from the Talmud and the Kabbalah. But in Kabbalah, their God, Ein Sof, creates Elohim. He is the creator of the God of Genesis. And so I think it's just really important for Christians to understand that we are not serving the same God as the Kabbalah rabbis,
Amen.
The rabbis of Kabbalah.
Well, while you're talking about the Ein Sof, or the Ein Sof, however you want to pronounce it, explain that a little bit more in detail, because people have no idea, and unfortunately, you can look right over it, but I'm not even going to get into who is promoting this, but on one of their main blogs, the Ein Sof is something very important to them, you know what I mean? But it explain that a little bit closer, so people that have eyes to see and ears to hear will hear this. And I just want to say a quick prayer real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, I ask that you bind any spirits that will keep people from listening or hearing what we are saying tonight, because it is very important, Father, and we ask that you please do that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'll go over like the cosmology. It's really it's going to be shocking maybe and bizarre to those who have never heard it. Okay, so Ein Sof, he is it's called Zimzum.
Yes.
He came from a point, he created a point of light, it says, and then he contracted himself, and then he created the 10 spheres of the Sephirot tree. So the one at the top is called the crown, and it's also called Keter, or Keter, and it's also called Elohim, and that is the God of Genesis. So there again, Ein Sof creates Elohim. And this Elohim, or Keter, is androgynous. He's male and female. And that might bring to mind the Baphomet. I mean, this all goes back to Mystery Babylon, is really what it is. So at the top of the tree is Keter, and male and female. And from him comes the next two Sephirot, Chokhmah and Bina. And then Chokhmah and Bina come together in what's called Heros Gamos. It's like a mystical sexual union, and that is depicted by the six-pointed star. The triangle with the upward point and the triangle coming down represent fire and water, and then those two come together in a sexual union, and then they create the next Sephira, and it goes all the way down to the last Sephira, which is Malkut. That's the earth, that's the kingdom of God, that's really the kingdom of God is Israel, physical Israel, what we would know today as Zionism. But the interesting thing is, the Kabbalah says that those 10 spheres could not hold the light of Ein Sof, and they shattered. And it was up to Keter, people pronounce it different ways, who is also Adam Kadmon. This is the celestial Adam. It's not the Adam that we think of in the Bible. He puts it all back together, and there's lights coming out of his forehead, and he builds this whole thing again. And when the shattering happened, you mentioned the sparks. The sparks scattered, and some fell down to the earth, some went back up to their source. But one of the interesting things is part of the sparks went into the abyss. See, there's a hidden sephira right under Keter, and that's called Da'at, and that means knowledge, and it's also referred to as the abyss. And some of those sparks fell into the abyss, so that's considered part of the Shekinah, the female aspect of God. And I think it was Gershom Scholem in my book, I quote him, he said that God himself, because in Kabbalah, everything is one. And because everything is one, God himself is in that pit waiting to come out. And he can't, or she cannot come out until she has assistance from those who are calling on her to come out of the abyss.
Yeah. And let's play that clip for our listeners.
All right. Now, of course, all of that mumbo-jumbo, all that gibberish that she was sharing, of course, is Jewish fables. This is all nonsense. This is Jewish Gnosticism. This is heresy. This is falsehood. This is an invention. These are satanic lies. But, of course, this is what, you know, people who are engaged in the Kabbalah believe, and this is what they teach. And of course, one of the main characters in this Kabbalah religion, if you can call it that, is this Metatron dude. And then today there are some people who claim to be in the church, who traffic in the church, who are engaged with churches, are now beginning to teach that this Metatron, who comes from the Kabbalah, is our Jesus. Okay? So that's the problem. That's the problem. All right, let's continue to listen to the interview.
John, on the one where what you're going to hear is Rabbi Itzhak Shapira actually saying that Yeshua is Metatron. And the takeaway from this last little conversation and this teaching from Deanne, I'm calling you Diana, it's Deanne, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My sister's name is Diana.
Yeah, it's so crazy, David, because you never say words wrong.
No, I don't say words wrong. That's my only fault, you know. My only fault I have, I say words wrong. But the takeaway is when you see someone talking about Ein Sof and teaching about Ein Sof, they're down the Kabbalah rabbit hole. Don't let them kid you. This isn't anything from the Bible about Ein Sof. This is from Kabbalah, pure Kabbalah. And in Kabbalah, Ein Sof is the creator of Elohim. But just so you'll know, and in the Kosher Pig, there's a big section where he goes into great detail showing that Yeshua is Metatron. And here we're going to let you hear it from his own words.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to ask one thing. When we pray, God hears it. I'm going to tell you a secret. There is only one way to get this collect call. May it be, here's the prayer in English, may it be your will that at the sounding of the shofar that we blow today, we will be as a sub fabric that is filled with the fear of the one in charge, Taltiel, as you accepted Elijah, blessed be his name, and Yeshua. This is the only place in rabbinic language that the name Yud, Shin, Vav, Ein is mentioned. That Yeshua, who is called the Prince of the Faith, who is being Prince Metatron, may you fill us with his mercy. Blessed be your name, Lord of Mercies. Hello, are you understanding what I am telling you?
Yeah, I think I am understanding what you're saying there, Mr. Shapiro. Now, what we have just heard here, Deanne, does this have any prophetic implications that would tie in with the revelation of the beast in Revelation 13?
Well, David, it seems that way to me. When I was writing the book, I was just overwhelmed at the parallels that I see, like with the Shekinah being in the pit, or Metatron, who really I show in my book is revealed to be the prince of this world. And there are so many parallels. I'm no Bible scholar, and I can't say that for sure. But in all of my years of research, I've never seen anything that comes closer than the system of Kabbalah and Babylonian Talmudism. And I think that that could very well be it.
All right, Saint, so there you have it. I stopped before she went any further. There's no need to go any further, but again, her book is entitled, the title of her book is Kabbalah Secrets Christians Need to Know, an in-depth study of the Kosher Pig, which is a book written by that rabbi, Ishak Shapira. He wrote the book, The Kosher Pig, and The Gods of Jewish Mysticism. So I like the fact that she knows her subject. She knows what she's talking about. At the same time, when asked about Bible prophecy, she was very hesitant to venture and say with any certainty, because, again, she says, I'm not a Bible scholar. And I admire people who just stick to what they know and don't offer opinions on stuff that they don't know. That's commendable. I like that. I like that about she's the kind of person I would like to hang out with. Well, listen, saints, look. Is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Metatron of the Kabbalah and the Zohar? The answer is no. The Metatron of the Kabbalah and the Zohar is the devil or some demon, right? She thinks it's the devil. She believes it's the devil. Others believe that, no, it's not the devil, but a very high-ranking demon who comes right after the devil in rank. Either way, Metatron is not Jesus. Well, how do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us that Metatron is not Jesus. Listen, get your Strong's Concordance. Let's just think for a moment here. If you have you probably have three English concordances at home. You have a Strong's Concordance, which I highly recommend. You should have a Young's Concordance or a Cruden's Concordance. Those are the three main popular English concordances. Okay. I will give anyone $1,000 if in the Strong's Concordance or in the Cruden's Concordance or in the Young's Concordance, they can find the proper noun, the name Metatron. It's a simple exercise. Knock yourself out. I'll give you 24 hours. I'll give you 24 hours to pull out. Remember, in a Strong's, Young's, or Cruden's Concordance will list every English word in the, so if Metatron is there, because I'm saying Metatron, if Metatron is there, Because even the people who tell you that Metatron is Jesus, they have transliterated from the Hebrew name, proper noun, Metatron, and they're saying it in English, Metatron. Try finding Metatron in your Strong's Concordance. I can find Abraham. I can find Isaac in my Strong's Concordance. I can find every place where the name Jesus is found in the Bible. I can find every the Strong's Concordance. If I want to look up Samson, the Strong's, the Young's, the Cruden's Concordance will tell me every place where Samson is mentioned. If I'm looking for Deborah, the prophetess, or any other Deborah, the Strong's Concordance, the Young's Concordance, the Cruden's Concordance will tell me where what scripture their names are mentioned. Try finding Metatron. You're not going to find Metatron. So why do I bring this up? Well, because we are Protestants. And for us Protestants, there's only one book that counts. Talmud, whatever version you have, whether you have the Jerusalem version of the Talmud or the Babylonian version of the Talmud, is certainly not the Zohar. Your authority is not the Kabbalah. Your authority is the Bible. Now, I'm going to read here from the Westminster Confession of Faith. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, in chapter 1, section 2, this is what it says. Under the name of Holy Scripture, or the Word of God written, are now contained all the books of the Old and New Testament, which are these. Of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you get the picture, right? All the way down to Malachi. Of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, of the Apostles, Epistle to Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, all the way down to Revelation. All of which, referring to the 66 books, the 39 of the Old Testament, and the 27 of the New, all of which are given by inspiration of God to be the rule of faith and life. That's it. We guide ourselves by means of Scripture. That's why I told you, pull out your Strong's Concordance, pull out your Young's Concordance, pull out your Cruden's Concordance, which are concordances of the Bible. These three concordances cover the 66 books of the Bible. And you tell me where you can find the proper noun, the name Metatron. You're just not going to find it. Because it's not you can't find Metatron in the 66 books of the Bible. Nowhere. Nowhere. And since the only books we follow are these 66, we give no credence to the Kabbalah, because it's Jewish Gnosticism, the Zohar, likewise, the Talmud. We can care less about those books. We're not interested in those books. Not as a rule of faith and life. It's not. Now, in section 3 of the Westminster Confession, and I am Reformed, right? I am Protestant. Okay. In section 3 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, of the first chapter, which covers the subject of the Holy Scriptures, it says, the books commonly called Apocrypha, not being of divine inspiration, are no part of the canon of Scripture, and therefore are of no authority in the Church of God. Listen, not only do we not want the Kabbalah, the Zohar, the Talmud, we don't even want the Apocrypha books. We don't want them. In front of me, I have an edition of the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. That's what I have in front of me, the Baptist Confession of Faith. And again, let me read to you. This is chapter 1 of the Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689. It's another creed. It's another Protestant creed. It says in section number 2, under the name of the Holy Scripture, or the Word of God written, are now contained all the books of the Old and New Testament, which are these. They follow the names of the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament, all of which are given by inspiration of God to be the rule of faith and life. In section 3, it says, the books commonly called Apocrypha, not being of divine inspiration, are no part of canon or rule of Scripture, and therefore are of no authority to the Church of God, nor to be anywise approved or used. Listen, not only, look, if we don't want the Apocrypha books, do you think we want the Kabbalah? Do you think we want to hear Jewish mysticism and Gnosticism? Please, give me a break. Now, if Jesus was Metatron, let me rephrase that. If Jesus is Metatron, the prophet Isaiah didn't get the memo. Let me repeat that. If Jesus is indeed Metatron, the prophet Isaiah didn't know it. Now, why do I mention the prophet Isaiah? Well, because the prophet Isaiah, when I went to school, my professors on every level, on the bachelor's, the master's, the doctoral level, all of my professors reminded the students that the prophet Isaiah was called the evangelistic prophet. His entire 66 chapter book was called the fifth gospel. There are five gospels. You know, the professors would argue there are five gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Isaiah. Why is Isaiah called the fifth gospel? Why did my professors call Isaiah the fifth gospel? Because Isaiah, who is often called the evangelistic prophet, says so much about the redemptive work of Messiah. Nobody writes more about the personal work of Christ than Isaiah does in all of the Old Testament. The people who say that Jesus is Metatron, that the Messiah is Metatron, have a problem with Isaiah. Why? Because Isaiah, who happened to be a Hebrew, he's not a Gentile like me, he's a Hebrew. This Hebrew prophet, inspired of the Holy Ghost, was never told by God that the one singular person he's writing about, which makes him the fifth evangelist of the Bible, this one key person he's writing about, they failed to tell him was Metatron. Let me give you a sample, and I will leave more samples for a debate, just in case if somebody gets stupid and wants to debate me. Okay, so let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Now remember, nobody wrote more about Messiah. Nobody talked more about Jesus than Isaiah did in the Old Testament. Nobody, not even Moses. And this is one of the things Isaiah says about Jesus. And I looked for Metatron in the book of Isaiah, couldn't find it. Couldn't find it in English, couldn't find Metatron in Hebrew. Just couldn't find it. Now, this is a Hebrew prophet speaking about a Hebrew Messiah, which some Hebrews today claim is Metatron. Okay. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's one of the names of Jesus, Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, it doesn't say Metatron. Notice you could have had, you could have inserted Metatron in there. You would think if Jesus was Metatron, Isaiah could have left out Prince of Peace and put Metatron, or he could have left out Mighty God and put in Metatron, or he could have, again, his name shall be called Wonderful, Metatron starts with an M. Wonderful starts with a W. Okay, not even close. Counselor. Counselor starts with a C. Metatron with an M. No. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah, who is the evangelistic prophet, listen, he is universally acknowledged by scholars of all denominations to be the evangelistic prophet who talks more about the Hebrew Messiah than anybody else. He doesn't call Jesus Metatron. Why not? Well, because Jesus is not Metatron. Satan is Metatron, not Jesus. Okay. That's one sample out of Isaiah. I'll leave more samples because I don't want to give away all my bullets before the debate. And by the way, for those Hebrew-speaking false teachers of the circumcision, can you point out to me where you can find Metatron in the Old or in the New Testament? Can you just show me? Can you show me one place in the Bible where you can find the proper noun Metatron? Can't find it. In fact, I looked at Alfred Jones. Alfred Jones wrote a dictionary of Old Testament Hebrew proper names, which was printed in 1876. He's a Hebrew scholar. Alfred Jones was a Hebrew scholar. I looked at his Hebrew dictionary of proper names. Couldn't find Metatron. The second prophet in the Old Testament. Now remember, Isaiah was a pre-Babylonian captivity prophet. In other words, Isaiah was not affected by Babylon. His mind, his prophetic mind, was not affected by Babylon. Isaiah did not go into the Babylonian captivity. He was pre-Babylonian captivity. So he was not influenced by the Talmud. But here this prophet called Zechariah, who, by the way, he's called Little Isaiah. Zechariah is called Little Isaiah because in his 14 chapters of prophecy, he is second to Isaiah in speaking the most about Messiah. He's the second. You see why I said we have to be logical, my dear brothers and sisters? If there was to be a sixth evangelist, if there would be a second prophetic evangelist, it would be Zechariah, the minor prophet Zechariah. He is only second to Isaiah in messianic prophecies. Well, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy Metatron cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, a foal of an ass. It doesn't say that. No. It doesn't mention Metatron here. Why not? If Jesus is Metatron, why can't you find Metatron in the second prophetic book that has the most messianic? Why? So, listen, Metatron's a big deal for the Kabbalist, for the Talmudist. Listen, Metatron is a big deal. If he's a big deal for them, he should have been a big deal for Isaiah, and he should have been a big deal for Zechariah. But he's not. Again, here's another messianic prophecy. This was fulfilled when Jesus came into Jerusalem triumphantly riding upon the donkey. This was fulfilled during his Passion Week, at the beginning of his Passion Week. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." Why not, instead of having thy king, why not put thy Metatron? Because the Messiah, the Hebrew Messiah, the Hebrew Messiah is not Metatron. Jesus Christ is not Metatron. That's why. So, again, here's a challenge for anyone out there who's pushing the Jesus is Metatron Kool-Aid. Get your Hebrew concordance, because if you don't, again, if you, look, if you don't want to use Strong's English Concordance or Young's English Concordance or Cruden's English Concordance, I challenge you to get a Hebrew Concordance and show me scripture, verse, chapter, show me where Metatron appears in the Old Testament. And then get yourself a Greek Concordance of your liking, a Greek lexicon of your liking. Show me where you can find Metatron in the New Testament. I challenge you. And you'll get $1,000 if you can just shoot me the email and shoot me the book, because I have the book in my library. Whatever book you, whatever title, whatever Hebrew concordance you're going to shoot over, whatever Hebrew lexicon, shoot over the name of the author of the book, the chapter, the page, the edition, when the book was printed. I have it. Shoot it over to me. And if you can show me Metatron, you got $1,000. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to continue this because I'm going to show you that Jesus is not Metatron. This is a lie. The devil of Jewish Gnosticism is now being pushed as our Messiah. And we can't stand for it. Remember, saints, Isaiah was a Hebrew prophet whom God inspired under the Holy Spirit to write the most messianic prophecies. There are people who are saying that the Hebrew Messiah, is Metatron. Well, why didn't Isaiah know that? And why didn't Zechariah know that? Well, the answer is quite simple and logical. Because Jesus, the Hebrew Messiah, is not Metatron at all. Metatron is Satan. That's who he is. We'll be back tomorrow. You're going to be amazed. You don't need, listen to me. Don't be bullied. Don't be intimidated by those people who say, and they start talking Hebrew. Don't be intimidated. You know why you shouldn't be intimidated? Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to John's baptism spoke Hebrew. And you know what John said to them? "Oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And think not within yourselves to say that you have Abraham as your father, for God is able out of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Don't let them intimidate you. "Well, you don't know Hebrew. You can't read it, so you don't know." No, we can know. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you're serving is Kool-Aid and not the truth. I'll be back tomorrow. This is going to get better, saints. Going to get better, and you're going to need to tune in to find out how we unravel this mess that is being pushed as the truth. Like I said, I got $1,000. Do I have any takers? Can anybody, and listen, you can email me, and I'll make the email public. I'll make it public. I'll show the world that you where you got the answer from and when I sent you the check. God bless you.
Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa, the saints in Malawi,
Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet we'll offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah.
And I ain't really trying to start beef, but some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth.
Yeah,
it cast it mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're feasting the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell.
Down.
If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Crackle Dollar is the false teacher.
12-12.
Benny Hinn is the false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is the false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is the false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is the false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is the false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is the false teacher.
12-12.
Robert Tilton is the false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
Eddie Long is the false teacher.
Let them know.
Juanita Bynum is the false teacher.
12-12.
Paul Crouch is the false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.